You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:15pm with Mick Norton, James Millman and Craig Forsyth in the studio. A very good Sunday to look forward to as well. It's day three of the open meeting at Cheltenham. We've also got racing at Fontwell. The card there includes the Southern National. There's racing over in Ireland as well from Navan with a few graded races on their card. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Will Smith. How are you, Will?
Very good. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Yeah, it's a good weekend of the calendar, isn't it? The open meeting at Cheltenham.
It's a proper weekend, yeah. I think there are various different schools of thought in terms of when the season really gets underway. Jumps-wise, some people will say Silver Trophy Day at Chepstow. Some will say Charlie Hall Day. I think for a lot of the proper trainers and the proper horses, it's Cheltenham's open meeting. So we've obviously had one day of it. We've had two days of it, the Friday and the Saturday. I'm doing away with my days. I'm wishing my time away. What's that about?
Yeah, don't do that.
No.
We can have a little bit of a look back at Saturday's action, where we obviously had the BetVictor Gold Cup as the feature race, Grade 3 handicap chase over 2.5 miles. Jonjo O'Neill had the favourite for the race in the shape of More of That. A lot of positive noises about him before the race, but unfortunately the ground probably went against him. He was a little bit disappointing, but Jonjo still had the winner in the shape of Takanda Soy, who bounced right back to form, encouraging reappearance over hurdles, back over fences, and looks to be rejuvenated.
Yeah, absolutely, and sort of breaks the barren spell of Jonjo O'Neill's stable as well. He's had a real sort of quiet time of things, but he's really bounced back to form with a vengeance here in terms of this big race runner. He had a couple of runners run well at Utoxeter as well, so he, Takanda Soy was very, very well handicapped on the best bits of his form. He won the 2.5 mile novice chase back at the festival 2 years ago, and he's now won his second handicap. He's only had two handicap chase starts and he's won both of them. The first one was when he reappeared off the back of that injury in February earlier on this year off a mark of 1.52 when he hacked up at Warwick, and he obviously appeared in this big race off 1.56 and won in the manner of a pretty well handicapped horse. Him and Village Vic obviously pulled a couple of lengths clear of the Evergreen and interesting by Wise, who seems to run the same kind of race every time. So
for anybody who hasn't seen Bywise before, they'll be watching that going, oh, Bywise is one for next time.
And but, well, yeah.
That's what he always does.
It is, yeah. Bless him. I mean, to be fair to him, I saw various articles about him a while ago. I think he's got all kinds of different plates and metal in his body, and that's why he doesn't jump with as much fluency as some horses. He finds it a little bit of a difficulty, and Evan Williams is fiercely protective of him, and as well he might. I mean, he's a high class horse and he continues to pick up prize money in very, very good races, so who could grab him?
On the back of the race, Takanda Soy was given a quote of 14-1 for the Ryanair.
Much of that, obviously the late and great Vautour would have been, if he didn't go down the Gold Cup route, he'd have obviously probably won the Ryanair again. So sadly, that, you know, that way has been left a little bit clear with his untimely demise. I don't know. I mean, he's obviously got great form around the course. It wouldn't appeal to me overly. I mean, it depends what Willie Mullins comes and sends over. There are all kinds of different horses that he could send, or Gordon Elliott, or for right now, I wouldn't suggest that is the case. I think soft ground helps him. I know he won the 2.5 mile novice 2 years ago on goodish ground, but I think ideally soft ground is his bag, and in a grade one like the Ryanair, he'd probably need it. So you'd have to wait till nearer the time if you fancied him, I think.
All right. By the way, More of That got obviously nudged out in the betting for some of the big races. 33s now for the Ryanair, 40-1 for the King George, 40-1 for the Gold Cup if you're in a forgiving mood. Let's talk about the Grade 3 handicap chase on the card over 3 miles and 3.5 furlongs. Went the way of Vicomte de Noia at 20-1, Warrantor in second, Manila Rocco back in third, Fourth Act back in fourth. What do you like in there? Did anything stand out to you in particular?
Yeah, I mean, interesting, Colin Tizard, he's been sent a whole host of horses the Alan Potts horses, who he's obviously got most of them out at Cheltenham, either at the October meeting or this meeting. Now, he quotes in the Racing Post on Saturday morning was saying that, "I'm sure there must be a stayer in amongst them, because Henry de Bromhead and various other trainers generally campaign them around 2 to 2.5 miles. And he thought, well, he's been sent this whole host of horses, there must be one stayer in there. And he said, "I think Vicomte Denoyer is the one in amongst them that could be a stayer." And he very much proved that, given that he's won a 3.5 mile, or best part of 3.5 mile handicap chase on soft ground. So, look, he'll probably improve for this run. The way he travelled through the race and the way he stayed on up the hill would suggest there might be a little bit more to come. And I'm sure races like, I guess, maybe the Welsh National or something like that would come into his compass. But certainly the two horses that finished second and third were bigger eye-catchers for me in terms of future targets. Warren Tor admittedly had a featherweight, 10 stone, but it was his first run of the season. He'd had a horse who's had a sort of broken campaign the last couple of seasons, and it looks like he's come back a stronger and better and healthier horse. And I'm sure that Warren Greatrex will be over the moon with that particular effort, and I think he can prove to be a decent, strong, staying soft ground horse in the future. His sights might have to be lowered slightly. Obviously, he'll go up a few pounds for this, but you know, if something like the Ida maybe, or the Welsh National might be a bit too much of a slog for him, but certainly something like that. And Manella Rocco for obviously John Joe O'Neill, before the Tacon de Soy obviously went and won the big race, you felt that John Joe's horses weren't going that well. So to see Manella Rocco run so well off very nearly top weight, a mark of 1.55, he's a horse who won the 4 miler at the festival. Obviously, reading between the lines, I think he could be, I mean, I know John Joe before the race said more of that was his Gold Cup horse and the best he's trained, but I sneakily think that Manella Rocco could end up going that route. And he ran a cracking race first time out. For a big horse that took a while to sort of get going last season, he ran a really, really good first run of the season off a mark of 1.55. He's got to improve a bit to enter the Gold Cup picture, but he's with the right kind of trainer to do that throughout the season.
Mm. And I know it's many, many months away, but we did adjust the Grand National market as well for those some of those that ran there. Manella Rocco, 25-1 for the Grand National, and Vicomte Denoyer is 33-1.
Yeah, I mean, Manella Rocco might be interesting. Would they go down that route? Obviously, they've tried a couple of times with Shut the Front Door, who, for various reasons, hasn't quite got home. Whether he fully sees out the, you know, the extreme 4.5 mile trip, it looked like Manella Rocco will. I mean, he's won 4 miles round Cheltenham. Who's to say he wouldn't stay 4.5 round Aintree? So he'll obviously have a decent mark there now. He'll be up to 160. So he'll have, you know, a decent amount of weight, but he's a strong stayer, so who's to say that he wouldn't appear there?
We saw Thistle Crack over fences again as well. His second run over fences, he won the 3 mile novices chase on the card. He didn't really have to break a sweat, but what did you make of it? You still still think he's, well, he's still favourite for the Gold Cup. Do you think he's going to make up into a Gold Cup front runner?
Yes.
In the betting, that is, not necessarily front running.
Well, yes. Yes, I think he will. He's had two starts now. Obviously, one at Chepstow where he did what he had to do. This was a bit of a tougher assignment. A couple of better horses in against him, namely Marinero, who's a decent stayer, rated sort of high 140s, could make up into a 150s horse potentially. And obviously, it was his first assignment at Cheltenham over fences. He obviously loved the place over hurdles. He was very, very brave at a couple, and he nearly breasted a couple and sort of took off way, way too far and had to sort of stretch his back legs out to make sure he got over it and almost landed on top of them, as I say. And that would be a slight worry, but I get the impression that you'd rather be that way inclined than a little bit hesitant. I think there are things that trainers can do to sort of rein that in a little bit, whereas if you have a horse that doesn't want to jump, then, you know, generally that you're never going to be able to elicit that into them. So I wouldn't be too worried. A lot of people will say, yeah, he's too big, too bold, too brave, but I mean, it's a Gold Cup. If they go the Gold Cup route, you're going to have to be brave and you're going to have a bit of luck, and certainly we know he's got the engine for it. I mean, he blew the world hurdle apart, and every race he's running, he's looked to have a far superior engine to every other horse that he's come up against. So no, I don't think, I mean, I wouldn't be rushing to back him at the price he is now for the Gold Cup currently, but I certainly don't think he did his prospects any harm.
No, he certainly was brave at a few of them, stood right off the fences, some of the open ditches, but yeah, you can learn from that. And last race, we look at Cash Your Mind all the way back to the first race of the day on the Saturday. Triumph Hurdle Trial went the way of Defi de Soy in pretty convincing style. He's been given a quote of 16-1 for the Triumph.
Yeah, that's not too bad. I mean, he's got to step into better company, definitely. We've got nowhere near the bottom of him on his two starts in this country. He won at Force Last on his first start a month or so ago. You know, beat everything else in that race, hands down, but he wasn't up against much. He met a slightly better class of rival in this race, obviously. Diablo de Sivilla has shown an okay level of form. I mean, he showed he's a strong stayer. I think that... I mean, there are going to be tougher assignments to come for Defi de Soy, definitely, but it's one of those horses that we just haven't got to the bottom of yet. I mean, we haven't seen sort of almost like thistle crack over fences, really, in that we're nowhere near the ceiling and we don't know where that ceiling comes. So 16-1 wouldn't be the worst kind of bet right now. I mean, I can only see that if he goes up into a slightly better contested race next time. I know this was a grade two, but there are only a couple of horses in it on form that had a chance. So yeah, next time out, if you snaffled some of the 16-1 now, then next time out, if he goes and wins again, you'll be sitting in a decent spot.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough. So that's kind of a look back at day two of the open meeting at Cheltenham. Let's move on to day three. We're going to look at four races at Cheltenham on Sunday, the first four races on the card, in fact, and we'll get Will's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Yeah, not only will we get Will's thoughts, we'll hear from Sir Anthony McCoy along the way as well. The first race that we look at on the Sunday is the 12:45. This is the Supreme Trial Novices Hurdle, a Grade 2, which was the Sharp Novices Hurdle. It's over 2 miles. We've got a field of seven to go to post here. I do believe we have betting out on site already as well. We do. Moonracer and Ballyandy, 7-4 joint favourites at this point. 4-1 keep in line. Move with the times is 9-1. It's 18-1 for Mersal and 20-1 are bigger prices. For the others, we'll start with Sir Anthony McCoy and then we'll come back to you in the studio, Will.
The 12:45 is the Supreme Novices Hurdle Trial, and we have the last two winners of the Cheltenham Bumper taking one another on again like they did in Perth last time. Moonracer got the better of Ballyandy that day. There wasn't much between them. Ballyandy gets £4. Well, that's enough to reverse the places? I don't think so. I think over this trip, Moonracer is just slightly the sharper horse. I know Paul Nicholls thinks Move of the Times is a pretty good horse, but I think he'll be better when stepped up in trip. I think Moonracer will win here again.
So it's Moonracer for Sir Anthony McCoy then. Obviously raised the point that it's the previous two Cheltenham Bumper Festival Bumper winners who have met before, and with the £4 swing around in the weights, AP doesn't think it'll make too much of a difference. What about yourself?
Yeah, interesting. You get the impression, certainly with Nigel Twiston Davies, when he sends one up, certainly historically, when he sends a runner up to Perth in September, they're usually ready to go. Probably not been the case the last couple of years, but certainly historically. So yeah, I wonder whether Ballyandy here has got as much left in the locker to come as what Moonracer does on the back of that run. Obviously, they both got the experience up there at Perth. Moonracer came out on top, which means he's got the £4 penalty, which, you know, weights and measures, you could argue, you know, allows Ballyandy to come out on top. I think I'm inclined to agree with AP McCoy. I think Moonracer could have a little bit more toe for Ballyandy. Ballyandy looks like a real strong staying type, whereas Moonracer might have a little bit more pace. I think they both, obviously ever since this race came out and the entries came out, it is all about those two because it's the rematch and they're the last two winners of the Cheltenham Bumper and things like that. So perhaps the other two in the market beyond them have been forgotten about. Obviously Move of the Times is pretty stoutly bred and as Sir AP mentioned, is probably going to be better stepped up in trip in time. I think Keep in Line is really interesting. Was a really good flat horse when trained on the flat by Godolphin side, Bin Sarur. He's had two really good introductions to hurdles at Huntingdon and Bangor. Yes, they were smaller races. He stepped up into better company now, but Alan King would know what he's got in terms of his young hurdlers. He wouldn't step one up if he didn't feel that they could be competitive. And I think he's probably a little bit of value against the two, Moonracer and Ballyandy. Certainly in terms of actual sheer ability, I mean, he was a 100 rated horse on the flat. That's pretty good. And he handled soft ground crucially on the flat as well. It's obviously gone soft, so I think he's a bit of value.
Right, a bit of value then, keep in line in the 12:45. The next race we look at is the 120 at Cheltenham. This is the Arkle Trophy Trial Novices Chase, a Grade 2. It was the November Novices Chase. It's over 2 miles. Once again, betting out on site at the moment of recording this. Le Presien is the 8-11 favourite. 4-1 Sun Plan. 3 Stars 6-1. 10-1 for Hammersley Lake. And Mick Tonic is the 10-1 outside, joint outsider of the field. Here's the thoughts of Shantini McCoy, and then we'll be back to Will in the studio.
The 120 is the Arkle Trial. It's been won 5 of the last 10 years by Paul Nichols, and some good chasers have won it in the past, the likes of Alfaroff and Dodging Bullets, to name a few. He's got Le Prisian here, who made a good start to his chasing career when he finished second to Chabal at Uttoxeter last time. He jumped pretty well that day. He's sure to improve for the experience. I think he'd take a lot of beating. His main dangers may come from a couple of Henry de Bumheads, but I think Le Prisian will win here.
Transley McCoy going through the history that Paul Nichols has got in the race there, and some of the winners he's won it with. Le Prisian going to be the next one for him?
Yes, I'm all in with him. I think he's got a great chance. He's got some really, really good hurdle form, and on soft ground, crucially, as well. He was second in a Grade 2 at Haydock behind It's a Freebie, Dan Skelton's horse, who I think is a good 2 mile yardstick. He was then won a Grade 2 up at Kelso in March before he ran at the festival. Now, the horse he beat there, the Dutchman, came out and won at Wetherby on Saturday on Chasing Debut. So that was obviously a decent performance, with Meet the Legend back in third, who was quite a leading fancy for the big Greatwood Hurdle today as well. He obviously didn't make the race. So that's strong form. And then he went to Aintree, bypassed Cheltenham Festival, went to Aintree for the 2.5 mile Mersey Novices Hurdle, the Grade 1, and he put it up to York Hill. Admittedly, York Hill was incredibly fresh and free that day, and probably didn't run quite up to form, but he ran a cracking race and to all intents and purposes gave York Hill a really tough race. And then on Chasing Debut, obviously at Uttoxeter last time in what was quite a warm novice event for the time of the year, he ran a cracker behind Charbel, who was given a nice positive ride out in front and appreciated the ground, whereas Le Prisian, we know certainly in his hurdling career, he probably appreciated it slightly softer. So I think that Le Prisian, with the experience of that run, I mean, he's a short price favourite, but I think he will win. So whatever price it is as a winner is a good price.
Yeah, there's no point backing a loser at a bigger price, is it?
No.
So Le Prisian then for Will in the 120. The 155 is the Schler Chase, a Grade 2 over 2 miles, won by the great sprinter Sakura last year. Special Tiara heads of the market for this year's renewal at 11-4, 3-1 for Fox Norton. Simon Sig is 100-30. 6-1 and on the slide for Top Gamble. Simply Ned is 10-1. 16s bar those. Let's find out what Shantini McCoy makes of the race.
The 155, the Schler Chase, is a race that Nicky Henderson won last season with a rejuvenated sprint to Sacra. He'll be trying to do the same again with Simon Sig, a winner of the Arkle Chase a couple of seasons ago at the Cheltenham Festival. We haven't seen anything like that form for a little while. There are a few question marks, but you can't rule him out. Fox Norton won a handicap here at Cheltenham last month. He was very impressive. He's gone up plenty in the weight, so he's taken on conditions chases now. I like Special Tiara. He's a confirmed front runner. He might not get taken on for a lead here. He may get it easy up the front. Noel Feely might be able to dictate. I think Special Tiara might win here.
Yeah, we kind of know what tactics are going to be employed on Special Tiara. As Shantini McCoy said there, he's going to be out in front, isn't he? It's a case of, can the others catch him?
Yeah, it's he's that's his confirmed way of running. He's a real free-going front runner. I wonder whether better ground might have suited him ideally. It's softer now, but he is favoured by the weights of the race. He's obviously not won a race for a while. Same as Simon Sig. They're both down the bottom on 11 stone. They're both very, very good. Very, very good 2 mile horses. Very, very quick. It wouldn't be a surprise if one of those two were to win it. Obviously, Nicky is so good at bringing these class horses back to health. We've seen it with Spinter Sacra, and we've seen it with My Tent or Yours and various others. So look, Simon Sig at various times in his couple of runs last year showed that the ability is definitely still there. I just wonder whether soft ground at this stage of his career now is what he really wants. He doesn't want a slog, I wouldn't have thought. It's a bit of a flyer, but I think Simply Ned he's running the race the last 3 years. I think he's running it, and he was really good second in it to Uxie Zondra 2 years ago. Noxie Zonda obviously went on and won at the festival the following March. Yeah, he was a little bit disappointing last year behind Sprinter Sacra, but I think obviously he tried to put it up to Sprinter Sacra, and that was never going to be, he was never going to come out well in that particular battle. So I think soft ground is probably not ideal for him. I think he might want it slightly better, but we know that he's gone well on soft ground around here, and he was actually second in the grade one on the day after Boxing Day at Leopardstown last year behind Flemingstar. He was a good second there on heavy ground. So he's had a pipe opener at Kelso in the big handicap chase there. That will have been a run to get him fit. And I think the fact that Nicky Richards keeps coming back to this race with him feels he might have a little bit of unfinished business with him. And I know he's not, you know, he's not getting any younger at nine, and there's a few in here with slightly younger legs, but with a dead eight in, hopefully none of them come out. He looks quite a decent each way bet.
Yeah, 10-1 at the time of recording this, Simply Ned. And the final race we look at is the 2:30 at Cheltenham, the Greatwood Handicap Hurdle, a grade three over 2 miles. We've got a field of 17 to go to post for this one. Headed in the betting by Winter Escape, who's 11-4. Modus is 7-1. 8-1 for North Hill Harvey. 9-1 Leon Cavallo. Hairbreath is 10-1. 11-1 Stern Rubin. 12-1 Brain Power. And Chitabello 16-1 on bigger prices for the others. JP McManus has the two runners at the top end of the market. A man who knows plenty about those runners is Anthony McCoy.
The 2:30 is the big race of the day. It's the Greatwood Hurdle. It's a race that JP McManus has a very strong hand in. Got three runners here. Hargam won last time at Kempton. I think he's slightly high in the weights. His other two runners, Winter Escape, was a very impressive novice hurdler last season. He was 3 from 3, finished off winning a good novice hurdle at Kempton. We haven't seen him since then, but I'm going to go for the slightly less fancied Modus, who was eye-catching a couple of weeks ago at Ascot. He stayed on really well from the back to finish third. I think Modus may get his head in front here.
So it's Modus for Sir AP. What do you make of it, Will?
Yeah, I'm with him, actually. It's interesting that he goes for the supposedly second choice of JP's pair. Obviously, Winter Escape, all winter has been targeted at this race, and I think is the apple of Alan King's eye. He feels this could be a really, really good horse in time, and he's sort of looked after him accordingly. He didn't go to any of the festivals last year. He felt he was probably a little bit too young and immature as a four-year-old. He's obviously got a summer on his back. He's probably a slightly bigger, stronger horse now, a little bit more mature maybe, but he's only had three runs. Admittedly, he won a grade two at Kempton back in February, the Dovecot Novice Hurdle. But I mean, to win this kind of race on what will be softish ground, he could be very, very well handicapped, but it might emerge to be something of a battle, really. And he might run incredibly well and go on to prove himself well handicapped in time. Which, you know, 1-4-2 is going to look very, very silly, I'm sure, at some stage. But, you know, to win this race is usually it's tricky. So he might run well without actually winning. And I think certainly Modus, who has had a bit of an roundabout time of things with Paul Nichols last year, he was a bit in and out and campaigned to try and get him on a decent mark, I think, for the county hurdle, and nothing really quite went his way. He had incredibly good bumper form, obviously, before JP purchased him for Robert Stevens. And his Ascot run last time behind Stern Rubin on a day where not much was getting into it off the pace at all on that day. It was incredibly eye-catching and was probably a bit unlucky not to win in the end. He's only been raised £1 for that, whereas, you know, the way he went through the race and the way he finished off his race, he was value for much, much more. Harry Cobden keeps the ride. He's gone well round Cheltenham before. He's had a bit of a favouring for goodish ground in the past, but I think it's just been when he's been fit and well. Certainly when he's been on soft ground, it's been maybe with a view to trying to get him to sort of a handicap mark that is maybe feasible. And he's by Motivator, who generally everything that Motivator produces go well on soft ground. So I don't think that will be too much of a negative. And I think he's a massive price.
7-1 is the massive price. Modus then, the selection for both Sir Anthony McCoy and Will in the final race we look at. As usual, let's just have a little bit of a quick summary, Will, before you go, if you'll just confirm your selections for us.
It seems like I've just followed AP McCoy, doesn't it? But which wouldn't be the worst thing to do. But in the 12:45, the Grade 2 Supreme Novice Hurdle Trial, I've taken a bit of a flyer and gone with Alan King's Keep in Line for Paul and Claire Rooney. I think he's been a little bit forgotten about in the market because of the big two, Moonracer and Ballyandy, taking themselves on again. the 120, the Arkle Trial Novice Chase, I think can go to Le Presienne for Paul Nicholls and JP McManus. I think he's got standout hurdle form, made a good chasing debut at Utoxeter last time. The ground will be fine for him. I think he can go really well. In the Chaleur Chase, the Grade 2, obviously Nicky Henson tries to win it again with a rejuvenated superstar in Simon Sigg. But I think there's a bit of each way value in Simply Ned, who's run well in this race before, who's had a run. Soft ground should be fine to him with the dead eight. Hopefully 10 to 1 each way is a big price. And then in the big handicap of the day, the Greatwood at 2:30, JP McManus has three in here. Obviously the well-touted favourite, Winter Escape for Alan King, but I think it's his supposed second string modus for Paul Nicholls and Harry Cobden, who can emerge victorious.
Superb. Good work, Will. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Sunday.
Thanks.
There you go. The thoughts of Will Smith on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:15 PM. Mick Norton, James Millman and Craig Forsyth will be the team in the studio. We've got this to look forward to at Cheltenham. Day 3 of the Open Meeting. Plenty to look forward to there. Good card at Fontwell as well, including the Southern National, and good racing over in Ireland from Navan. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.